We pick up towards the top of Yudchet, at the top of 18. Amar Abaya says as follows: Avir shlosha b'suka gedola miuto bein bekanim bein b'shturim havei miut. What happens is if you have a three handbreadth gap, a three tvachim gap in a sukkah, and we're going to see that this is all along the length of the sukkah. If there is a three handbreadth gap all the way along, what do you do to fix that? It would mess it up and really split it into two different Sukkot, etc., and mess it up. And you can fill it. It doesn't make a difference what you fill it up with, whether you fill it up with kanim, like reeds or sticks, or shpudim, or even anfit skach, like metal bars, etc., the skewers, etc. Have a miut. We say that is defined as an effective reduction in space. Because even the metal bars, the metal beams, the skewers aren't enough, aren't for tfachim wide, and that's what we had yesterday, that they can't be for tfachim wide. However, that is in the case of a large sukkah, as we said, sukkah gdora. However, sukkah tana, when it comes to a small sukkah, bekanim have a miut, when there is a gap of three, and you then put kanim in, something that is fit for skach, like the bits of reeds and sticks, etc., have a miut. That is effective and decreases the size of the sukkah. However, b'shturim, shpurim, lo have a miut. It is not, if you put metal rods in there, it is not defined as a good reduction in size. The idea is because even though there are only three tvachim worth of metal, it still doesn't make the sukkah fit because it's not four. Still decreases the size of the sukkah, and therefore it's not no longer a size of a sukkah because that minimum size sukkah, as we said many times, seven tvachim by seven tvachim, it's not, you know, if you decrease it below that, that is not, then it will become less than the correct size of a sukkah. And the Gemara says, v'hani mili, and that's only min atzad, and that's only where you go from the side, going back to what we'd said before. We said that if the airspace of three, if you don't fill it up, it says that is only when it's on the side of the sukkah, and we say then it gets filled in. Then that is effective. Aval be'emsa, however, if it is in the middle of the sukkah, pligiba Rav Acha v'Ravina. Rav Acha and Ravina argue about that. Charamar yesh lavud be'emsa. The one says it applies that you can apply the principle of lavud, that something within three tefachim of each other is joined up, even in the middle of a sukkah. V'chadamar ein lavud b'emsa. And the one said, we don't apply lavud in the middle of the sukkah, even though you've decreased the space. If there is a gap all the way through the middle of the sukkah, that would split it really into two different sukkahs, and you wouldn't, it is no good. In that instance, even if it is less than three tvachim, we don't look at lavud. Okay, we don't say who said who, but anyway, my timer, demand amar shiyesh lavud b'emtza. So we just explore these opinions, even though we don't attribute them. We say that who agrees that when we talk about lavud applies in the middle of the sukkah, it says the Tanya, holds like the following opinion. The Tanya, Korah hayotzi mekotel zev einu nugat mekotel acher. What happens is that as we've seen in Erevin, as you remember, we have a three-cornered alleyway, and what do you alleyway surrounded by three walls. What you have to do is put either a vertical beam, a lechi, or a korah, a horizontal beam, sticking out at the end of the alleyway, and the horizontal beam has to have a certain minimum size to it, and the question is, in this case it didn't have that minimum size, and you stuck it out, actually you stuck out two less than minimums, from both sides of the alleyway as it leads into the street. It says, and it sticks out from the one side of the wall, doesn't touch the other one. If you stick out what you're meant to have with the korah, it's meant to go all the way across from one to the other, from one side of the wall to the other. So what happens if you didn't have a korah that did that? Either it stopped short of the wall opposite it, or another korah coming out of that wall, but the two never met in the middle. So there's a gap in the korah, either to right towards the other end of the wall, or else in the middle of the wall. It says Zev. So that's what we have. Kotel acher. V'chein shtei korot. Echad yotzad mikotel Zev. V'chad yotzad mikotel acher. One sticking out the one side of the wall, one to the other. V'ainu nogat zubazu. They do not touch each other. Now the question is, pachot mishosha, if there's less than three tvachim between the two of them, ainu tarich lavi korah acheret. You do not have to bring another bar and join these horizontal things together. Shlosha, however, if it is three wide, three tvachim, then tarich lavi korah acheret. Then you have to join it with another korah to make it completed. So what do we see here? Less than three is defined as lavud. V'irach, the other opinion, he says, shani korot derabanan. How does he deflect that? He says, no, korah is a rabbinical thing. The rabbi said, it's only in the alleyway that on a rabbinical level that you have to have some kind of heker, some kind of differentiation and something to show that it is that you don't want to like walk out into the street. That's why you have this beam across to remind you. But that's only rabbinical. From a Torah perspective, Dorata, the fact that the alleyway is got walls all around on three sides turns it into Dorata, an area in which you could carry. So it's only just a heker, a reminder not to walk beyond that. Okay, so it's a rabbinical thing, as opposed to the sukkah, which is a dorata issue. Turning to the other opinion, Ma'atama, demanda Amma Ein Lavud Emsa. What about the opinion that says Lavud does not apply in the middle of a sukkah? We learned Didnan, as we learned in a Mishnah in Oalot, Aruba Shvabayat. If you have a skylight in a roof, and it says here, the ba poter tefach, and the skylight is one tefach by one tefach, then tuma babayit kulo tame. If there is tuma in the house, not underneath the skylight, the whole house is tame, except for what is underneath the skylight. Because you say ma shukenegid aruba tahor, what is underneath the skylight is tahor, because what do we say? The thing underneath the skylight is not surrounded by a roof. This little one tefach area in the skylight that it makes it that it is not roofed. So whatever is underneath there, it is tahor. Okay, there's a small little vessel directly underneath the skylight. It escapes the tuma that would be present in the rest of the house. The rest of the house has tumat oil on it. The corpse rises up and hits the roof and spreads around all around the house, except for that little area underneath the skylight, the one handbreadth squared area underneath the skylight. However, tuma keneged arubai, in the corresponding case of tuma underneath the skylight itself, a small little piece of tuma, you can get, for example, a kazayit of mate, a kazayit of a dead body. Then what happens is, if that is directly fitting into this one handbreadth area of underneath the skylight, kolabait kulator, then the tuma just goes straight up and rises up through this little skylight, one tefach by one tefach, and the rest of the house, and the rest of the house is tahor as well. There is no tuma in this house. Okay, and really the idea is that this is the actual proof already, because we see here that even though the skylight is just one tefach by one tefach, that is We don't say it's less than three tvachim, and therefore it is joined up. Then the Mishnah continues, even though it's not necessary, and it gives the same law. Actually, if the tumah is less than a tefach wide, it's not necessary for our purposes. We just bring it for the sake of completion of that Mishnah. It doesn't add anything to us. It's used for other examples and for other halachot. In the Mishnah and Oalot that carries on, so we just bring it, even though we've already proved that Tumah is there's no lavud even then less than three tvachim. Ein aruba potach tefach if the aruba is even less than a tefach. Tuva right keneged aruba if the Tumah is in the house opposite the skylight tower, everything in the house is tower. Tuma keneged aruba if we say the so again a tumah as long as the tumah is neged the aruba if there was any tumah in the house, I didn't explain it properly. Ein aruba potach tefach if the skylight is not a tefach wad, even though there's tumah babayit, even though there's a corpse in the house, what is opposite keneged aruba tahor? What is opposite the skylight is tahor, exactly as the first part of the Mishnah. And tumah keneged aruba, but even if the space is less than a tefach, if the corpse is opposite the skylight, kol habayit kulah tahor. The whole bayit is in fact still tahor. All right, as you mentioned, not particularly necessary for our purposes, but necessary for the discussion in Oalot. All right, so we see our proof is there that even a smaller area than a three tvachim is not defined as lavud, and we don't say the whole house is defined as covered in. And the Gemara says, so what is the person who says we do say lavud in this situation? It says v'irach shani halacha tuma hilcha tuma dehachi gemira lahu. He says no, the laws of tuma are specific in halacha Moshe Mishinai and things like that, and tuma are all halacha Moshe Mishinai, and therefore you can't say the halacha Moshe Mishinai was lavud in one instance and oalot is another. So we see we can't learn one to another and apply them across contexts. All right, and now we start off with a discussion about the sukkah in the name of Rabbi Huda ben Eli. Darish Rabbi Huda ben Eli. He says a bayit shenufkatav sichach above, a house that has the roof has fallen in and you put schach over the top. It says kashara, that is kosher. Amal lefanav Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Shmuel the son of Rabbi Yossi says to him, Rabbi Peresh, explain. No, it's not a blanket opinion. That's always the case. You need to clarify it and say that it qualify it really, and say that it doesn't apply in every area. Kach Perish Abba, and he says this is. So he replies. He says yes, this is how my father said. It says Abba Amot Psula. If there is more than four Amot, then we can't use the Dofen Akuma, the bent wall. Pachot mi Abba Amot, and therefore it is no good. Okay, but if it's less than four Amot, Kushera, that is kosher. All right, so exactly as we had in our Mishnah. The next thing, once we're quoting, we just digress from the issue of sukkah, and we end up with kosher fish. Darish Rav Yehuda ben Eli, the same person, Avruma, he says this Avruma, this type of fish, sharia, he says it is a good, it is a kosher fish. Amar al-Fadav, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shmuel Rabbi Yossi says, Rabbi Peresh, you can't say it in all instances. Please quote qualified. And he says, you're right, Kachama Abba, Shemakom Ploni, from this place, Asura. If it's in this place, this Avrumis in that place is the non kosher fish along with it, Asura. It is no good. Shemakom Ploni, Muteret. But in this other place where there aren't kosher fish along with it, you're not worried that you'll pull up a what looks similar to this Avruma, but it actually is a non kosher fish and therefore will be allowed. V'ki hai et amar Abai, and it's similarly to what Abai says. Tzachanta, you got this fish called Tzachanta, the Bav, Nahara, Sharia, he says of the river Bav, those are permitted. The Gemara says, Ma tama, ilayma mishum de Udifei Maya, Vai Dag Tame, Kavandalo, Late Chutashidra, Law Mati Kaim, Vai Kazin Dekai. We say, maybe you would say that the water flows very fast and non kosher fish don't have a spine and therefore they can't swim. The water is too rough for them and it pushes them out of the river and therefore non kosher fish which don't have a spine would be unable to live in there. We see that is not the case because we see that non kosher fish do live in rivers that have strong currents. Ela, mishum de milchei ma, you might say that the water is very salty. Vaha dag tame, kavanda leitle kilfei lo matika. And if the non-kosher fish wouldn't be able to live in that salty water, but because they don't have scales. And it says, vaha kai chazinan dekai, even in very salty water, we do find non-kosher fish. And therefore, so ela, mishum de lo Rabbi Tinaihu Dag Tame, we say because the mud in that river is not good for the fish to reproduce anymore. It's not kosher. It's not suitable for non-kosher fish to reproduce. And Amar Ravina, Ravina says about that. Vaidna, however, today the shafki nar etan v'nar gamda lahatam, because now you've got the Etan River and the Gamda River coming into this thing. It seems, you know, the government has built different, you know, constructions and canals between the two, Lahatam, they all come into the same place, Asira. So even these small little fish would not be given a blanket exemption. You'd have to check with all of them to see exactly which ones are kosher and which ones are not. So now we move back to Sukkah after that brief digression. Itmar, Sichach Agabei Achsadra, Sheyesh La Pitzitzim Kashera. What we have now, the simple way to understand this, really is you have that around a courtyard, the house in the U shaped, and there's a courtyard in the middle, and there are these awnings coming out from the house, and what you do, you put a schach over it. So the case in the Mishnah, very similar to the case in the Mishnah, but what you do now is you have a in the case of the Mishnah, we said as long as it was less than 4 amot away from the wall of the house, it would be good. Here it appears that it is more than 4 amot away from the house, and therefore it shouldn't really be good if you put schach over. But what you have is you put these pitzamim in place, and what is that? It seems to be like a kind of row of sticks there. You've got different posts on that side that is kshera, that works. Okay, l'she'en la pitzimim, and if there aren't these pitzimim over there, so the pitzimim really go and they basically form a wall. If there aren't any pitzimim, if there aren't any posts there, then there's too much of a distance between the wall and the top of the and it's too long a distance, more than 4 amot, and therefore the Dofen Akuma won't work, and therefore it's no good. Abaya says about that, Kushera. Sorry, if there are pitzimim over there, then it's kosher. Shein la pitzimim. If there aren't any of these posts there, Abaya Amar. Abaya says, still kashera, this still works. Rava Amar, psula, no, it doesn't work. All right, so now how do we understand this machloket? Abaya Amar kashera. Abaya says it's kosher. Why? Amrinan, he say, pitikra yored fasotem. Another locha Moshe Misinai. What we say is that you imagine the edge of the roof comes down and seals the entrance over here, and therefore the edge of the roof is distinct and noticeable, and therefore, what do you say? The edge of the roof is like a small little partition. Once it's a small partition, we say there actually we imagine it being brought downwards and actually sealing that that entrance. Okay, and that's why it's like a wall over there. That's that is what Abaye says. Rav Amar, no, Sura, it's pasul. Why? Lo amrin pi tikra yored v'sotem. We don't say in this case that we imagine the roof as if it goes down and seals the entrance over there. Amalei Rava. So Rava turns to Abaye and he says, Amalei Rava Abaye. So he says, "Lididach amata pitigra yored v'sotem afilu hifchit dofen imtzai." So, if in your case, if you say you could use it, imagine the wall coming down, what happens in the case of you have a three walled sukkah, and what you do is one of the middle wall falls down or is removed, so now you've only got two parallel walls facing each other, and the other one is open, and in terms of that, even you should say that because you can see that where the wall used to be, you should imagine the roof goes down in that area and seals it off, so it still should be a kosher sukkah. You know, surely that should work. And Amar Alei, no, the response would be, even Abaye would say back to him, he says, Modana lach bahi. In this case, I definitely agree with you. Dehavalei kamavoi hamufodash. That is effectively like an open alleyway, and because there's, you know, just two opposite walls, parallel walls, and people just walk through it. So even in that case, I'm not saying, I don't go so far as to say that this would be effective in that situation. The Gemara abstracts and it says, Lema Abaye Rabba Plukta de Rava Shmuel Kamifgli. Maybe Rava and Abaye are arguing in the same machloket between Rav and Shmuel. Okay, de Itmar, as we've seen previously a lot in Erevin, Achsadra, you have this like gazebo out there in the field that is, it's got just a roof on four corners and a roof, but there's no walls over there outside in the middle of a field. Sadrach Bibika, this gazebo in the middle of a field. Ravamar Mutala Tato Bukula Kulo. Rav said that you can carry inside that whole area. We say why? Damrin and Pitikra, your advisotem, we say we imagine this area as fully enclosed, because we say the roof, we see the edges of the roof, and now they come down and seal it off. So this, even though it's got zero walls, you've got these four posts, you are able to see that you imagine the walls as coming down and sealing everything off. And Shmuel Amar, Shmuel says no. And Matatinimba Ela Arba Amot. The minimum, only be allowed to carry inside this area because within four Amot, it's considered to be a completely normal domain, a public domain in this instance, because in the same way in a public domain you can't carry more than four amot. So to here you can't carry more than four amot. Dulo amrinan pitikra yored v'sotem, because we do not imagine the walls descending and sealing off this area. So if it was a completely sealed area, obviously you could carry inside it, and therefore it would be, and it's not considered to be the field. However, Shmuel says you don't say the walls descend and seal anything off, and as a result we say that it's completely open and you wouldn't be allowed to carry inside of it. So the way that's phrased is that you can't carry more than four amot, because even in a public domain you could carry less than four amot at a time. Okay, and so maybe we should say that Abaye and Rava are arguing about the same thing as Rav and Shmuel. The Gemara says no, Aleba de Shmuel, according to Shmuel, who says that you can, we do say Pitikra Yored Vesotem, he says Kula Alma Lo Pligi, everyone agrees, even a buyer would say that you know, we don't apply that in the case of sukkah. Kipligi alibid rav. However, you know, what are they arguing about? They must be talking about rav. What is that? Abaya karav. That's quite easy. Abaya holds like rav in terms of the roof goes down. You imagine it and sealing it off in both the middle of the field, and you'd be allowed to carry inside of it. And also the sukkah case, we'd say pitikra yored for sotem in the case of the sukkah, no problem. Okay, Rama Rava Amarlach, Rava would say to you, Ad kan lo kamarav hatam ela the mechitzot. In terms of Rava would say, listen, Rava only said there in terms of the middle of the field. It says because you have little mechitzot over here, you have the little edges of the roof, and they are they can be seen as extending downwards. Lachsadra hu davidi. In the Lachsadra, in the middle of the field, you have these little mechitzot, and they are the beginning of the walls, and therefore you can imagine them as going down. Avahacha the lav hachi avide lo. But here, in the case of the sukkah, you can't see any mechitzot at all. That's you know, there's no mechitzot over there, and even Rav would say that would not work. Okay, you know, the sugya does carry on, but this is a pretty good place to stop, so we will, and everyone should have a great day.